This is Indie Book Publishing. Indie Book Publishing is a show about new books and the authors who wrote them. It's an opportunity for prospective readers to hear directly from the writers, to hear what inspired them to write and publish, and to hear all the inside details about their books. And now, Indie Book Publishing.
Greetings for Indie Book Publishing, Westbow Press. This is J. Douglas Barker. The book is titled Just Say It. And joining me from Ottawa, Ontario, Canada, is my author, Dr. Cheryl Bauman. Thank you for joining me today, Cheryl.
Thank you for having me on your show. I really appreciate it.
Honored to visit with you. Your book is not an extensive read. When I say not extensive, it's 112 pages. Good things come in small packages, I'm saying. And just to confirm the word that's in your title, just saying it, how would you describe your book and where did the inspiration come from in putting it together?
Okay, well, the inspiration for my book came from the fact that I have been in the education field for over 25 years. And I've been noticing over these past 25 years that there's been a real decline in the way that people are interacting with others. And I've noticed that both in the education field, in my personal relationships, and also in relationships in other businesses and with other social organizations. And I've been noting that people have been coming more and more isolated and disconnected. And I really believe that we were created to be connected. I really believe that we're designed to have right relationship with others and that we all have a need to belong. And in my book, I do talk about that need to belong. And I talk about the fact that Alfred Adler really did a lot of research in that area in terms of our need to belong. And I really have seen a decline in the way that people have been communicating with each other in terms of the patterns of behavior that they're using when they're speaking to other people as well. Okay. But on the other side of it, I've also noticed an increase in kindness. And especially I'm looking back to 9/11, for example, we saw a real increase in kindness when this horrific act happened, right? People came out of themselves and really became kind. They realized we are created to belong and we are created to help each other. And I truly believe that within all of us, we all know that that's actually what's to happen. And it's just, how do we do that?
You have done this by condensing it or distilling it down into a short read of four main points, I think, in your chapters. The first one is, I believe in you, reinforcing the positive side of communication. What was the incident, if there was one, that caused you to use that as a chapter heading and a content?
Well, I believe that we all need to hear those words. And I believe that some of us have heard it more than others. And like I said, our society has maybe been on a decline in terms of the norm is to be negative. And so what I decided to do was to start to speak positive words into the lives of others, such as, I believe in you. And I had been for a long time demonstrating to people, I believe in you, I care, you're important in my life. But I hadn't actually been using those words. I hadn't actually been making those bold statements, those true, genuine statements that I felt about people and that I thought about people, but I actually didn't say them. And so when I started to say these statements to people, I noticed how our relationships changed, and they changed for the better, because I actually was stating what I thought and felt about these people, because I was feeling genuine, and I was being truthful, and I was being compassionate in what I was saying. And I think that that's what my book also talks about as well. It's talking about the fact that we need to be genuine when we are speaking these statements forward, but that we also need to want to be able to do this. I think it's the want, and it's the It's actually getting our thinking, and it's actually changing our patterns of behavior so that we actually want to say these things to other people and to ourselves.
You're actually encouraging people to use the actual phrase that you have included in your book, such as "I believe in you."
That's correct. Yes, I am.
So we could be perhaps say in a family situation or in a friendship situation. We think we are conveying that by our actions, but using the words conveys a powerful statement that will impact someone.
That's correct, because there is power in the spoken word. And I talk about that in my book, the power that is in the spoken word. And the power can break through many barriers that we have, because oftentimes we don't tell people what we're thinking about them. And so when we tell them what we're thinking about them, we then encourage them to unlock certain talents and abilities within themselves, because we're saying, "I believe in you." We're saying, "I care about you." And so if we're instilling that within our children, within our colleagues that we work with, within our neighbors, with the people that we meet at the grocery store, and my book talks about that too, looking for opportunities within our day to unlock these potentials within people and to unlock this ability to be able to tap into positive, life-affirming, life-blessing situations in all that we do and all that we say. Because that's actually what we're designed to do. We were actually designed out of being blessed. We were, you know, God created us in His image. He created us out of blessing, and He spoke forth blessings over our life. And so from the beginning of time, that's what we were created. We were created to speak blessings over people's lives, not conflict, not negative statements. And it's becoming all too apparent in today's society that speaking positive is actually not as encouraged as speaking negative towards people.
That's true. In the area I live in, I happen to be in Texas, and in Texas, especially the area I am located, there used to be a prevalence of people in, let's say, a retail situation. When you would purchase something or leave the store or leave their presence, they would often say, "Have a blessed day." I'm seeing it, or noticed just in the last month or two, that phrase has been absent from communication for some reason. I don't know if it's societal or what it is. Have you seen anything in your area, or are you noticing a change in the communication style recently?
Absolutely. And I would say that the United States is excellent in terms of their customer service, that you really do go above and beyond to help out customers. And so that's sad when I hear that you've noticed a change even in the last few months, because anytime I visited the States, I've noticed your customer service is fantastic and people are very willing most times to help out. So it's really taking then those areas that we have control over, and the areas that we can make an influence in, such as our jobs. Like if we're a clerk in a store, or if we're a supervisor who's supervising employees, or if we're a mom that goes to a mom's group, or if we're a teacher that has 30 students in our classroom, that we need to look at who is our circle of influence, who can we influence, and who can we speak these positive words to. Who can we just say it to? "I believe in you." And we need to seize those opportunities every single day. So what I want to do is, if there is store clerks, you know, in your area that aren't saying this, "Have a blessed day," to decide every single day, get up in the morning and say, "You know what, today I'm going to say that to every single person that comes across my, you know, that comes into my store. Have a blessed day."
Good
because
idea.
That can really change somebody's day around, and it can really then encourage them to go forth and say to other people, "Have a blessed day."
Have a blessed day.
Right? It's really encouraging people to speak positively to others and not to speak negatively. And I know that clerks in stores often do take the brunt of sometimes people's frustrations. And so we as customers have to realize that we need to also say to the clerks, thank you so much. You know, you are so important in my life. I come into the store every week to do my grocery shopping, and you are always so helpful. And we as the customer need to turn around situations, and we need to bless them as they choose to bless us.
I agree. It also is an easy thing to say, you have a gorgeous smile, or you are really brightening my day, or I love the way that you have greeted me today. Those things also reinforce a positive outcome, not only in that person's life, but also in your own life. You have just five chapters. You have certainly focused on the positive. Who did you think would enjoy reading your book or benefit from this?
Well, I believe this book will appeal to all ages. And my daughter is 12 years old, and some of her friends are reading the book and enjoying it. So I believe it's a book for all ages. And I particularly believe that it's a book that can help in both our personal relationships and also our professional relationships, because it shows us the need for positivity and caring. And teaching others how to learn how to communicate that way in a compassionate and honest way. And so parents can use this with their children. And in my book, I talk about the fact that research shows that parents who speak positively and who speak life-encouraging messages to their children, that their children have an increased sense of self-esteem, but they also are better problem solvers. And research shows that. And so these children that grow up, they then become adults. And so these adults have more confidence and are better problem solvers than when they get out into the workplace. So this book is for parents. It's for people in education. It's for people in dating relationships. Because like you have pointed out, it's four phrases that help people to start off speaking positive messages to people to encourage them, to bless them, to let them know that their lives have a purpose, and to let them know how people think and feel about them. Now, these four phrases, and I talk about that in my book, it's not limited to these four phrases, but it also is a way that we can all start to make a difference in our lives and in a difference in the people around us. So business people as well, it helps them in terms of being a leader, and it helps them in their organizations in terms of how do I speak and how do I interact in my business. And it also encourages people within businesses to use more face-to-face communication, because this is, the world that we're living in is a technological world. And it's a world that has so many advances this way, and there's so many advantages to the technology that has been created for all of us to use. But it's also encouraging people to continue to have face-to-face communication. So if you're a boss or a supervisor, how can you still encourage employees to have face-to-face communication with others?
Right.
And that's by setting up business meetings or setting up meetings where you do have face-to-face communication. And how do you, even in this global economy, try to be a leader that uses these impactful statements in ways of speaking to people to make their lives better in all aspects? So I'm really asking people in this book to have a seamless lifestyle and a seamless way of speaking to people, both in their professional and in their personal lives.
Would you call your book more of a self-help book, or is it an inspirational book with some great ideas that, you know, anybody can benefit from?
I think it's really both, actually. I'd hate to categorize things, right? Like, I hate to say it's just this and it's just that.
Mm-hmm.
Because different people have taken from it different aspects, right? Like, they're reflecting on differently. So it is for sure a self-help book. It's something that people can reflect upon. It can help in terms of communication. And it can also help to inspire people to change their habits that they've maybe that they maybe become accustomed to. So changing their habits of how am I speaking to this person, right? And doing it step by step. I'm not saying that people just have to change overnight. But what I'm trying to encourage is that I'm trying to encourage people to take the message from this book and to apply it to their lives every single day so that it becomes a habit, so that the norm then becomes speaking words of blessing and speaking words of encouragement in a truthful and compassionate way over others, right?
Yes.
So that's really the message in my book. It's unlocking our potential in our relationships and within ourselves, and it's unlocking the potential in the relationship with others and the way that they see themselves as well. And so in my book too, I talk about not condemning ourselves, right? So if you're reading my book and saying, oh, I've really messed up here, or I've said this here, or if you start to try to speak positively and it doesn't work right away, don't get discouraged or don't condemn yourself. We must all start from where we went, where we are in whatever relationship we choose to work on, and we must move forward. We can't keep weighing ourselves down with negative thoughts and with condemnation, with ways that we're seeing that we're not doing things right.
Correct.
We need to reflect on those. We need to be honest with ourselves, but then we need to move forward and to develop and choose to develop positive ways of speaking and interacting with others.
Beautifully said. You have included in your book also personal stories and personal interactions with other individuals where that one in particular, you were on a flight in an airplane, and the person you sat next to maybe needed a word of cheering up, and your interaction with them, most of us when we are flying, at least when I'm flying, I don't want to talk to anybody, I don't want to be interrupted, I just want to just go hide in my corner. You took an opportunity to cheer them up and cheer this individual up, and you found out she was a children's author or wanted to be a children's author, if I'm understanding the story correctly. These types of opportunities present themselves on a regular basis if you're open to following through on them, don't they?
Absolutely. And that's what I'm encouraging people to do, is to look for these opportunities every single day. So instead of looking for negative opportunities, we need to look for positive opportunities. We need to look at how can I help others, whether I'm on an airplane, whether I'm in the grocery store, whether I'm teaching a group of children, whether I'm a radio announcer, and you got on today before this interview and you were encouraging me.
Absolutely.
And you were making me feel comfortable before this interview, right?
What do
so,
I know?
So you decided before the interview that's how you would respond to me.
Absolutely.
And that has changed the way that we're interacting with each other, right?
Super.
And so it's to take all these opportunities in our life, and it's to decide, I can turn this one around, or I can make it really, really, really go bad.
Dr. Bauman, you have certainly focused on some important issues in your book. How is it different from others?
Well, it's different from other books in the fact that I purposely wrote it so that it's readable. I wanted everyone from every avenue of life to be able to read this book, and I wanted it to be short and concise so that people could take what is written in this book and apply it quickly to their lives. As a mom and a busy mom and a professional, and I know that many people have busy lives, and that's where society is going, I wrote it because I wanted it to be readable. And I have had many books on the go and have never finished them. And so that's really what I wanted to be. I also wanted it to be relevant. I wanted to be relevant to today's society. So I put within it true stories. I put within it research and also recommendations. I also wanted it to be realistic, and that's why I put in the four phrases, because I wanted to give people an area that they could start. It's a communication area with these four statements that they can start to turn around their relationships. It's not limiting them to that, but it is definitely saying you can start off with these four phrases: I believe in you, I care, I'm sorry, and you're important. And you can use these in your life to change your relationships around. I also wanted it to be a resource that people could use. Because it's short and concise, people can go back through it and look through it again. And I've had friends that have read the book and colleagues, and they've said they've used it and they've gone back and they have been able to look at research that I wrote about or look at a way that I communicated with someone in a story that I've told. I also believe it's reliable. I believe that what I've written is reliable because I use, like I said, real life stories. I also use research, and I also do weave in scripture as well within it, so that it is a reliable resource that people can use. So it's readable, relevant, realistic, reliable resource.
Beautifully right? said. The title of the book, again, is Just Say It, Four Phrases That Will Change Your Life Forever. My guest has been Dr. Cheryl Bauman, who has joined me from Ottawa, Ontario, Canada. Dr. Bauman, where can my listeners get a copy of this important read?
They can get a copy of this read. They can go to www.westbowpress.com, or they can go to Amazon and get it. They can also go on to Barnes & Noble and also Chapters Indigo as well.
Fantastic. Now, you also have a website, and I think, correct?
I do. That is correct. My website is called www.justsayit.today.
Super. Well, thank you for joining me today and sharing your story. This is a book that should be an easy read and one that will improve your life if you put these principles into play in your interaction with others. Thank you for joining me and sharing your story.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you, listeners, for tuning in. I really appreciate it, and I encourage you to get this book because, as has been stated, it's a short, easy read, and that's why I wrote it that way, so that people could take it and apply it right away.
Excellent, excellent. For Indie Book Publishing, Westbow Press, this is J. Douglas Barker.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages. Congratulations on being the proud owner of an adorable, soft, cuddly, sweet-smelling, smiling, cooing, hungry, tired, gassy, screaming little bundle of joy. So now what? Where's the owner's manual for this thing? Where are my instructions? Right here. It's Baby and Toddler Instructions with Blythe Lipman on TogiNet.com. Infant care specialist Blythe Lipman has worked with babies for over 20 years and works extensively with new parents, providing workshops, in-home visits, tips, and daily phone calls to ease those frazzled nerves. With Baby and Toddler Instructions, you can get the advice you need on how to survive and enjoy your baby's first year. For more information on Blythe and how she can help you, go to babyinstructions.com. From 32 ways to stop a baby from crying to 14 ways to get a baby to eat and so much more. It's Baby and Toddler Instructions with Blythe Lipman on TogiNet.com. Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world.
Greetings for Indie Book Publishing, Archway Press. This is J. Douglas Barker. The book is titled Timmy Teacup Transforms, and my author who joins me from near St. Louis, Missouri, in the United States, is Barbara Daniels. Welcome, Barbara, to the program.
Thank you, Jay. It's nice to be on the air.
You have 24 pages in this book and a lot of graphics and illustrations. My assumption and presumption, because I've also read the book, of course, is that this is directed towards children. Am I correct in assuming that?
Yes, you are correct. Probably about 4 to 7 years old. But it, you know, it turns out that older kids seem to enjoy it also, and adults too. But the actual age group that I was kind of targeting when I wrote it was the 4 to 7 year old age group.
You have always wanted to be an author. Is that something that is a fact, or is this something that just snuck up on you?
It kind of snuck up on me. I took a children's writing class about, 10 years ago, and it kind of sparked an interest in it. And then I wrote this about 3 years ago, and all, it just kept kind of simmering in my mind that this story might make a good book for a lot of different reasons.
And Timmy is your main character, who starts off in the novel, in the short read, as a teacup. But there is a transformation that takes place. Share with my listeners where this idea came from. How did you come up with the concept of changing Timmy from one thing to another and back again?
Okay. Well, I was thinking about, you know, there are a lot of kids and adults, too, that sometimes really don't like the way they look. They don't like their body the way it is, or are they just, for some reason, they just sort of feel invisible and they don't feel very good looking or whatever. And I started to think about, you know, sometimes kids wish that they were something other than what they are. And I was trying to think of an object that, maybe could change from sort of the same type of useful object to another useful object, but be totally different. And that's where I got the idea of, well, maybe a teacup would rather be, since a teacup's thin and delicate and fragile, maybe they'd, this little guy would rather be something big and strong and sturdy, like a hot chocolate mug. So that's why I decided that he wanted to be that, because he thought that that would be better. He thought that would be, you know, make him more, you know, I don't know, macho or whatever. And that, and also the kids in the household where he was were always taking those mugs out onto the deck, and they were, he thought the mugs were having more fun than he was. So that's kind of, I don't know where the idea came in my mind, Jay, but it just kind of popped in there, and so I kind of ran with it. And I actually do have a bunch of teacups on a pie crust table in my house, and so I think that's initially where I got the idea with the teacup for some reason.
Were you in the habit of telling stories like this to your children or young adults somewhere in your past?
I have. I live with my 9-year-old grandson, and, well, actually, there's four generations in the house. I've got my mother, who's 91, my daughter, who's in her 40s, I'm almost 70, and my grandson is 9. So we've got four generations, and I've been reading books to him since he was born, but I never really told, well, I used to tell him stories about when he was a baby, and he liked that, but I actually did want to gear it towards something that he and his classmates would like, because we had this thing at his school where you'd go and read a book. Well, I decided that maybe that I would read one of my stories to his kindergarten class. This was back when he was in kindergarten, and they loved it, because at the end of the, I wrote, read three different books, and at the end I said, okay, so what was your favorite book? And the boys all raised their hand, and they went, Timmy Teacup.
Really?
And I said, oh, so I started to think, well, maybe this would be something that, you know, and then and when he was in third grade, the teacher read the book to the class, and one of the little girls actually wrote a sequel to it. So I thought, oh, well,
really?
It appeals to girls, too. So that's when I decided that maybe it needed to be a book, because it seemed to be, and the kids across the street read it, and I said, did it make you feel better about yourself? And the one little boy, he said, oh, yes, it did. And that really made me happy. So that's when I decided it needed to be, you know, a lot of kids just don't have that self-confidence in them today like they should for some reason. I don't know what it is, but back when I was a kid, we never even thought about stuff like that. But seems like today there's just so much competition and everything.
There certainly is. Do you have any background as an educator or in the education world?
I have a degree in psychology, not child psychology, but I guess, you know, having raised my daughter and having raised my grandson up till 9 years old, I do, you know, have a kind of, and I live with three brothers, so I know a lot about kids and their different personalities and what they respond to and some of the problems that they have. So I'm not a specific educator, no, but, you know, I guess a lifetime educator, you'd say, or you know, the type of person that just learns along the way.
Absolutely. How long did it take to complete? You said this was something that came to you a while back, and then it evolved into a book form. How long did it take to get completed with illustrations and all the other facts that pull this together?
Well, I started doing this with Archway back in May, and we're just now getting to the point where I've got my TimmyTeacup.com website. I've got, you know, this radio interview going on. I'm just going to be starting to maybe go to Barnes & Noble and try to get it on the shelf there. So it's taken me, it's not that long of a process from May until, you know, end of September. But there's a lot of detail, because when you have an illustrator who wants to do exactly what you want, you have to tell him everything you want in all of those pictures. And he was fabulous. I mean, he just, I almost cried when I saw the pictures that the first time when Timmy Teacup and everybody came to life. It was just so fun. you know, to see that happen. And the pictures, I feel the illustrations are just awesome. And the
they
kids
are.
Will really, really enjoy them. Yeah,
they are. And they don't overwhelm the story either, because there is a considerable amount of dialogue in these 24 pages or so. It's not just one that is illustration driven. It's actually story driven.
Right, right. It's not just a picture book. Yeah, it's something that both the it can actually spark a lot of conversations if the parent reads it to the child at bedtime or whatever, and bring up issues that maybe the child's having some problems with, you know, and it can spark conversations easily, because you can use Timmy as sort of a sounding board there, or a starting point, you know.
Absolutely. Now, distilling the story down, the story is about self-image. Would that be the easiest way to describe this?
I would say so, and sort of like, be yourself, be happy with yourself the way that you are, and that you're special and wonderful just the way you are. You don't have to be something different to be great. If you are different from the other kids, that's great too. So I think it kind of teaches that, the book kind of teaches the moral of the story is, you know, that you should really love yourself, and that you shouldn't think that you're not as good as somebody else just because you look different or you act different. You know, in the story, Timmy doesn't like all the stuff that the mugs like. He is different from the mugs. So, you know, and that's okay. He finally realizes that at the end of the story, that you know, he likes his home life and the way it is. He likes himself the way it is. And at the very end, I don't want to give away the ending, but I mean, we kind of know it's a happy ending in a children's book. I think it should be.
Right.
But the, you know, at the end, the grandma says to him, you know, be careful what you wish for. And, you know, I think that's something else we need to think about too, where sometimes we're always wishing and hoping for something other than what we have, and we should be grateful for what we have right where we are.
I agree.
We're just, most of us are very blessed with what we have.
Well, you're absolutely correct there. This is a book that will challenge children to think differently, and also grandparents and parents who may have difficulty sharing with children how important it is to be an individual. This is a good moral to this story. Were there any difficulties you had to overcome to get this to where you're happy with it at this moment?
No, it's been a really easy process with Archway Publishing. I've been really happy with them. They've been excellent. And I sent him a note, and I said, just give my illustrator a raise, would you please, because he's just awesome. And it's been a pretty seamless along the way. I haven't had any issues at all. It's been fun. It's been a great experience. I'd like to do it again. I've got Timmy's got some characters down the road that I'd like to put in the next book. He's got his best friend, Fred the Fork. He's got his other pals, Paul the Plate and Sally the Spoon and Nick the Knife. So I'd like to get them all in the next book. And I think they're going to maybe, the next title of the next book might be Timmy Teacup's Terrific Teacher, because my grandson had a fabulous teacher back in third grade, and I'd like to kind of dedicate that next book to her and talk about Timmy and his friends going to school and some of the issues that kids have with that. Some of them are afraid, you know, some of them aren't, you know, just a lot of different things. And then my next one after that should be Timmy Teacup Takes a Trip, and, you know, what it's like to maybe go on an airplane. This is for little kids, you know, they haven't done some of these things yet.
You're right.
Because my grandson had some issues going on the plane when we were going to Florida, so I'd like to address that. And he told me, he's a very precocious 9-year-old, by the way, and he said, I think each one of your books, Grandmommy, should have some kind of a moral teaching lesson at the end. And I said, I think so too, Jake. And he said, yeah, I think so. So, because you know what? Some of the books that you read, Jay, are just, I know there might be just for entertainment, but it's sort of like they don't teach the kids anything. So I'm kind of like, because I read a book to Jake every single night, one or two, sometimes three. And we're sort of like looking at each other like, well, what was the point of
what
that?
What was the point
of
that?
Mm-hmm. So,
absolutely. That happens. There are many books that I interview. I've interviewed authors. I've interviewed over, I think, 1,400 by now. And all types of books are being produced, some that have wonderful moral messages to them, and others that just kind of leave you wondering, what was the point of that, of putting that into print?
Why waste your time writing it, and why waste your time reading it?
Yeah. Sure.
Not to put the author down, because sometimes they just want to tell a story, and that's okay, too.
That's absolutely.
I'm not trying to be you know, rude or anything. But in my particular case, I think it's good to have Timmy trying to teach a lesson each time.
So absolutely. Great idea. Now, introduce this. If you were to introduce this to a grandparent or a parent, just giving them the 30-second version of the book and give them a reason to buy it, how would you do that?
Well, I would probably say that in this story, there's a little, small little white teacup, and he's transformed by a wish. He goes on exciting adventures, and he learns to appreciate his family, his home, and most of all, himself.
Beautifully said. Barbara, I understand you also have done some poetry. Have you got anything you can share with us today?
Little short poem about Timmy Teacup Transforms. It's called Love Yourself. Whether you're thin or fat, purple or blue, just love yourself because you're you.
Fabulous. I think every first grader, second grader, and on up through probably 10 or 11 years old should memorize that and probably use it instead of fighting. How about that for an idea?
Yeah, that sounds like a plan.
The title of the book, again, is Timmy Teacup Transforms, and my author, Barbara Daniels, has joined me from somewhere near St. Louis, Missouri. Barbara, my listeners will want to get a copy of this and find out more about your writing style and about the books that will be coming in the future. Share with them, again, the information on your website and also where they can get a copy.
Okay, they can go to timmyteacup.com, or they can go to archwaypublishing.com. Either way, you can get the book. I kind of like the idea of going directly to timmyteacup.com, but they can go to Archway Publishing also and type in the name. It's a little bit easier if you go to the timmyteacup.com because it's right there, and you can click on a synopsis of the book. You can click on information about me. You can click on how to order it. So it's pretty easy just to go directly to that.
Wonderful. Barbara, congratulations on the completion of this book, and best of luck in the future. I hope that there's many more Timmy Teacup books in the future, and very imaginative and has a wonderful message. Thanks for sharing that background story with us today.
Thank you, Jay.
My pleasure. For Indie Book Publishing Archway Press, this is Jay Douglas Barker.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Do you ever wonder if you're the only woman who runs errands in her yoga pants so it will look like she went to the gym? Or how about the only mom who feeds her kids raw cookie dough? Or are you the only one who cooks her family cold cereal for dinner? Do you need more laughter and less loudness? More self-love and less self-loathing? More joy and less judgment? You're not alone. Come to the living room. A place where we get comfy, candid, and confident together. Come seeking sanctuary and leave feeling renewed. We're saving a seat for you. Give yourself some living room today.
Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world.
Hello and welcome to TogiNet, Author Voices on Air. My name is Deb Han, and I'm so excited to be with you today because I think I might just be able to share the answer to so many of our prayers. Have you ever, maybe you're a parent yourself, or you know a parent, or you know people that are about to be parents, and we have this kind of running conversation around, I wish there was an instruction manual for kids, or I wish kids came with an instruction manual. Well, today we are joined by the wonderful Kerry Yardsley, who has indeed realised such a manual, the Instruction Manual for Kids and Parents Edition. That's an important piece. It's the Parents Edition for this manual for kids. Kerry, how are you?
I'm well, thanks, Deb. How are you?
Wonderful. Thank you for taking the time to write this. This is fantastic. I wish I had it when I became a mum.
That's good. No, it was my pleasure, absolutely.
And listen, you're a mum yourself, right? You've got, is it four children?
That's right, yep, four kids. Boy, girl, and they were born 2 years apart. So at one stage I had four of them under 6 years of age, and then later on four teenagers living under the one roof.
Mm-hmm. That's because they grow up to be teenagers, right?
Well, they do, yeah, and that was pretty challenging, but it's, you know, life's interesting.
Yeah. I think that's one of the most refreshing things or pieces about this book is that, you know, you really do share your story and you are sharing from your own personal autobiography. It's, you know, you do back it up with some science and some facts and figures and so on. But it's not all theory. There's a lot of practical in here, and I really respect and I admire that, and I think that's what our viewers and the readers will really appreciate. So, what was your inspiration? I mean, you know, yes, you were a mother. I'm sure that was part of the inspiration. But what really drove you to, you know, put pen to paper, or you know, maybe you said finger to keyboard to realize this?
It was I suppose because I've been a computer programmer for a while before the kids came along, and then so I could continue working, I became a contract technical writer, which meant that I wrote instruction manuals or policies and procedure documents and things like that for all sorts of, whether it's companies or governments. And after a relatively long stint at a local government, where a lot of my colleagues were just starting their families and they had a lot of questions that were very similar. So when that contract finished, I thought, you know, why don't I write the manual rather than just mentioning help, you know, advice, giving advice to a few people here and there. If I write all the ideas down into a manual, then it's available for whoever might need it. And because I'd been writing instruction manuals for such a long time and the actual instruction manual as such had never been written, I thought, why not use that as a title?
Perfect.
So, yeah.
Works on so many levels, right?
Yeah. Well, and also I've tried to put in, you know, from pre-pregnancy all the way through to the teenage years.
Yeah.
And it's not just one isolated area. You know, I'm not focusing on toddlers or focusing on teenagers, where they seem to be, if you like, some of the most challenging areas. I've tried to cover the whole lot from my perspective as a mother and as someone who has learned over the years. We've all made mistakes, and it's what we've learned from teachings from many wonderful people who've put out books to help, you know, whether it's self-help or, you know, specific areas, you know, how to teach children, things like that. I've tried to put them all together, especially the ones that have helped my husband and myself with our kids.
Excellent. And so I think, you know, one of the points you make is, you know, so you take the reader on a journey from, like you say, pregnancy through to teen years. But one of the things that I like about the way you've structured this book is you have broken it down. So your chapters are very clearly identified so that, you know, you don't have to be pregnant to be reading this book. You don't have to have a toddler to be reading this book, or a 5-year-old, or, you know, maybe you do, but I'm just saying you don't have to be in that particular point. You can jump in to the section of the book that's, you know, pertinent to where you're at. But having said that, I think the one chapter that I would absolutely encourage everybody to read would have to be, you know, chapter one in the introduction piece there.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I've got that as the first step in all the instructions, for the instructions for all the chapters, because that one talks about the mindset of the parent, and the parents have to appreciate that if they have a relaxed or a controlled mind, their own mind, then they can look at situations without overreacting or just reacting to them. They can actually look at a situation and think, okay, what's happening here? Yes, this is what I should do. No, I don't have to do that, blah, blah, blah. Like it takes it away from the automated response until you've been there long enough to make your automated response is actually the correct response, if I can put it that way.
Yeah, I love the way you talk about, well, really, you encourage some choice, and you make the point very well that, you know, for particularly new parents, the existing encyclopedia was the way they were parented, you know.
Yes.
And exactly. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, But neither are you saying that's a bad thing necessarily. It's just, you know, really waking people up to the thing that, you know what, you don't have to repeat the way you were programmed if you don't want to, or you do have an opportunity to, you know, choose your attitude and make different choices.
Oh, definitely. You know? Absolutely. Yeah.
Very important.
You can see it in, if I could just use an example of, say, obesity in a family.
Mm.
You often find that it's not as much a physiological complaint as a habit that's just been, because they don't know, they actually haven't been taught proper nutrition. So they will just follow along with whatever habits they were taught by their parents. And, and I don't want anyone to judge the parents because they're doing the best they can. And I firmly believe that every parent is doing the best they can for their child.
Yeah.
But I also firmly believe that if we open our minds up a little bit and read or listen to someone who's got some really good ideas, we can learn from that, and then we can make choices, as you say, to change the direction of where we're going. So in terms of the obesity family, they can make choices of their food. Instead of eating, you know, fatty and sugary foods, they can actually eat raw foods, healthy salads, that sort of thing. You know, they don't have to flow down that path that's already been set in train.
Sure. Like you say, make choices. And yeah, I think, you know, and the other imperative chapter, so there's obviously the introduction, which it's a great scene for, you know, for new parents. But then for existing parents going into those teen years, you've got that chapter around the preteen basics, chapter 12. So can you expand a little bit on you know, what's the real scene setter in that piece?
Yes, certainly. Your children or your child is somewhere between 4 and 12 years of age. At this point in time, they absolutely adore you, or they should. But usually the kids, you know, if they have gone through the baby and the toddler years where you've put a lot of time and effort into them, doing the basics for the babies, and it's for the toddlers, you know, encouraging them to get out and do that, then because they're very curious at that age, yes, you encourage them for their curiosity, but you also keep a close eye on them, obviously, to keep them safe. And in these years now, the preteen years, they've got all the basics down pat. They know roughly what's good and bad. They've got an idea of what's safe and what's not. And now they're just starting to really flourish with their ideas, their creativity, and their what really motivates them in life. Mm. And this is so important that at this point in time, it's maybe some parents feel they've got enough skills to be able to, we'll just put them in after school care, you know, because they're often at school at this age. You know, we'll put them in after school care and then we won't see them until later on in the night. Put them to bed and that's it. But at this age, you've really got to be spending a lot of time, or equally as much time, I think, as with a baby, because these kids are now picking up about all your habits, all your good habits, whether it's personal hygiene or how you run your household. So, you know, if they're playing games, then make sure that you join in with them. Put that time and effort into them. If you're reading books to them, you know, at the end of the night, maybe change the stories a little bit, or get them to think about how would they like to change the story around. Ask their opinion about ideas so that you're teaching them how to think. You want them to be able to recognise where converging or diverging pathways can occur. So you don't want to just be saying it only happens this way, that's it. You've got to be able to, you know, help them to spread their wings a little bit and spread their mind, open up their mind to all sorts of new ideas.
Yeah. This is when you're really investing in their personality, their lifestyle choices, and, you know, who they are born to be, so to speak. And yeah. I think, you know, you make a great observation, and well, you are a great example as a family of that, in the sense that you have these four children that are now, they're all in their 20s, right? So they're all, yes, you know, young adults in their own right, and all four of them are doing very different things with their adult life. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah, they are. Our eldest is helping build houses and has done that, and he absolutely loves martial arts. He's a real specialist in kung fu.
Yeah.
And my eldest daughter, she loves fashion and is in retail section. She just loves that whole world, and but she's also very helpful. Like, she's been here, actually we've been renovating our house, and she has put a lot of time and effort into painting, actually not just choosing the colors but actually doing the hard work and that as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for a lot of parents to get their kids to do anything for them, you know, this is just amazing. And our third child, our second son, he's in the army. He's been there for 6 years.
Yeah.
Had a stint in Afghanistan and come back safe and sound, thank goodness. And now he's actually in the helicopters, which is one of his pursuits that he wanted to follow that. So he's been able to get into doing the training for helicopter teams now. So, you know, we're really happy for him about that. And youngest daughter, she's halfway through fourth year of veterinary science up in Townsville at the moment. So she's absolutely loving it. So
it's really diverse, and that's how it is. I mean, how often do we see that with families? You go, wow, you know, these kids raised by the same parents, and they're, you know, chalk and cheese, you know. And
yeah,
I think that's that preteen, that chapter really kind of sets up that awareness. There was another piece I thought that was really interesting, Kerry, when you spoke about the nice guy versus tough guy, you know, that concept when you talk about, you know, we've got this notion in life around, you know, last guys finish last, or nice guys finish last, I should say. So do you want to give us a little bit of an intro into what you're talking about in relation to that?
Nice guys or nice kids are kids with good boundaries. The boundaries can ebb and flow with the situation, if you like. It doesn't have to be too hard and abrupt, whereas like a tough kid has hard barriers and they can't be. If you smash through a hard barrier, it gets broken. There's no give. There's no negotiation, I suppose you could say, on those ones. And I suppose I don't like is the fact that, you know, we're often led to believe that good looks and lots of money are all you need to be happy in life. Nice guys who don't have this, you know, they're losers, and tough guys are the only ones that get their way. Well, that's completely rubbish. So, you know, if you're a good person and you have great self-control, you have good manners, and you respect everyone that you meet, then you're more likely to have great friendships for life. And as parents, we can't always choose for our kids, and we shouldn't be choosing for our kids, but we should, we should be able to be there to influence them in a way that they can make the choice themselves.
Okay.
We can't, you know, the idea is to, as I said before, to help your kids to think about things and situations. So if they come upon a situation where they can't immediately solve it, they should be able to trust the parents enough to come home and talk about it with them openly in every possible way, knowing that the parent is going to accept everything that they say without judgment, without humiliation, without, that's a really stupid thing to do or something like that. You know, you never make comments like that to your child, because they are opening up to you in whatever way they see fit.
Mm.
And you should be able to accept that as themselves, you know. And if they know that they can do that without it coming back on them in a negative way, you will have friends for life, you know, with your children, you know. Yeah. You'll have that communication with them the whole time, and they will talk to you about anything, and they'll tell you when they think that you're doing the wrong thing too.
Yeah.
You know, it works, it's a two-way street, but so it should be, because that respect, it's not just, you know, as I was brought up, my mother was from Thailand, and it was very much a top-down, you know, respect the elders stuff. And that to me ended up being, because I was the youngest, I was the one that basically wasn't respected or didn't feel like I was respected, I had to respect everyone else.
Yeah. But like you say, you sow into your children well, and they'll come back and paint your house, which is a beautiful thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
So, Kerry, tell us, where can people get a copy of this wonderful manual?
Yeah, you can get a copy of it. It's on Amazon.com and Barnes & Noble. Balboa Press also have copies of it available, and it's also available on instructionmanualforkids.com, which is my website.
Fantastic. And just by the way, people, that is instruction manual for being the number for kids.com. Yeah. So the W is instructionmanualforkids.com. Highly recommend a visit to that site to access your copy. You can get it in hard copy, soft copy, and ebook. Yes?
Yes, you can get that on the Balboa site. I've only got paperback.
Okay.
But I will have ebooks, and I'm also going to be putting up shortly, hopefully before Christmas this year, I'm going to be putting up an audio book, and also I will have other templates and things like that available for parents to use if they want to download, you know, like daily schedules and things like that. I want to have all those sorts of things available, anything that might help parents to be able to structure their life and just make it easier for them with all their kids.
Fantastic. Okay, let's face it, life is busy enough and hectic enough, and there's enough uncertainty in life. If you can make anything easier and have more confidence in what you do. Kerry, thank you so much for taking the time to share your parenting experience, to share your wisdom around, and you know, your education around you know, what it is to raise such a dynamic and vibrant young family as you have, together with your husband, obviously. So, Kerry, thanks for your time today. It's been wonderful hearing you share your, you know, your stories, and I thank you for your time today. And so, ladies and gentlemen, please get onto that website, get a copy of the instruction manual for kids, the parents' edition. Great Christmas present for maybe new parents that you know or about to become parents, or if you are a parent, could be a godsend. My name is Deb Han, and it's been a pleasure to be with you this afternoon for TogiNet Author Voices on Air. Ciao for now.
You've been listening to Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen. Join us again next week at noon Eastern as Steve interviews another great author.